We have been talking a little about discipleship and what it means the first week and of the summer. We're doing this during the summer. Last week we started, which will take us a few weeks. We're looking at the six levels of spiritual growth. We saw that Jesus made the demands of discipleship pretty heavy. He wants those who are serious. And so not everybody who says they're a disciple is one. Now, the point is, though, we grow. As long as we have that desire and we want to be a committed disciple of Christ, we're going to have to grow. And we're looking at those levels. Many believers have been prevented from understanding and applying principles from Scripture simply because their maturity level doesn't match their spiritual age. It's hard to understand the deeper truths of God if you are a newer Christian. You grow, and the more you grow in your faith, the more you'll understand. It's like sometimes new people, they get saved. It's like, man, I've been reading my Bible, and I don't always understand everything. Well, that's natural. I remember when I read the Bible for the first time, I was a new Christian, and I'm like, man, I was behind. So I grabbed the Bible, and I read through it in 3 months, and I got some out of it. But it's like there was a lot of it in there that's like, I don't get that. But as I kept reading it, and I kept going to church and learning, it all started making sense, okay? What you learn here starts fitting in with what you're reading over there. The Bible, it all fits together, by the way. And so, but that is called growth. We looked at that. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 there on your sheet says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." The writer here of Hebrews is saying that, you know, hey, there's a, to this group of Hebrew Christians, hey, you should have understood more, and this is the time really you ought to be mature enough to be a teacher, but you're not there yet. I still have to give you the first principles. And so that's what we're talking about. What is spiritual maturity? We gave you this last week, but I want you to understand it. True spiritual maturity is the ability to recognize what is right and what is wrong. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, picking up where we just left off. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." By the way, one of the signs that the type of Christianity that's in our country today is either apostate, which means it's not true, or it's a bunch of baby Christians, is the fact that they can't even tell the difference between good and evil. Churches now are calling evil good and good evil, and we just kind of, what's society say? Oh, that's what society says. The church better navigate that direction. No. The fact of the matter is, the more we learn the Word of God, the more we understand what is right and what is wrong. And we get a prudence and all those other things. Now, last week, I'm just going to read them to you. We talked about the very first level, which is a babe. First Peter says, as newborn babes, okay? When you're born into the family of God, you're a baby Christian. You're brand new. What is the main need of underneath all of these, I'll give you a main need at the end. I'll give you the main goal. The main need of a babe is they need to be fed and nurtured. If they're going to grow, they need to be fed, and they need to be nurtured so that they can grow, if that's physically, but also spiritually. We looked at their characteristics. You can read the verses later. They resist limitations. They want their own way. They need daily nourishment, and they have little understanding. So the main goal for a baby Christian is growth. Now, the important thing, and I let me go back for a second, is the reason we need to understand these for several things. Because everybody in a church is at a different spiritual level. And if we don't understand that, we get confused with one another. We either blow a baby Christian out of the water, or if we're on the other end, we get frustrated because of an older Christian, because we're going different directions. The key is direction. Someone's going the right direction, that's good. Amen. Now, if they're going the wrong direction, there's going to be some other issues other than they're regressing in their maturity, but they're also not going to be right with God, so there's going to be some issues there. Another reason is, listen, we have a lot of new people that come our way. You have a lot of new people on Sunday morning. Our goal, our desire, and I hope that you're on board with us with this, we don't want people just to come to church on Sunday morning. We don't. A Sunday morning is our big service, and that's where the new people come, and we want to be friendly and help them and all that stuff. But man, we want to help them grow. We want to help them get to know God. That's what all this is all about, the steps. Helping them progress, not in their faith journey. I don't like that. Progress in their maturity level. And then get them to more services and get them growing and grounded and being a part of our church. And not just a part of our church in a I sit in the pew kind of way, but we call it assimilated, part of the group. They're one of us, and they're growing in their faith. And so that's why we want to learn these things. So obey. Now, we didn't go over this, but here's some questions. As we go through some of these, we're going to ask ourselves some questions, and we have to evaluate where we're at, or do we sometimes act a certain way that maybe we shouldn't. First one would be, do I resist biblical limitations? Some people do. They fight it. Oh, yeah, that's legal. That's not legalism. But if something is, now sometimes people throw stuff out there that's not, you know, that's not Bible. Cults do that, but sometimes, you know, like, well, there's just whatever. But listen, if something is biblical, we don't have that option, okay? Are there areas in which I must have my own way without regard to whether it's right or wrong? Sometimes people are like, you know what? This is just what I want, and I really don't want to care and find out what God says. And by the way, say, well, who struggles with that? All of us. Now, the more we grow in our faith, the easier it is to fight that. Next, do I really desire God's word? Really desire it? I would question someone that says, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but I just don't have any desire for the word of God. I would really question that. We've had 7 children. Not one of them did we have to get them to eat when they were first born. They wanted to eat. And by the way, if you didn't feed them, they let you know about it. 2 in the morning, they'll let you know, okay? And you understand that if you've had children. Well, I'm not saying we cry at 2 in the morning, but do we have a real desire for God's word? Do we want to really learn it? Do I desire to mature in my faith? Do I want to grow? So that's the first one, obey. This is all new now. A child. Number 2, a child. Child. We're moving up the progression ladder. We're no longer a babe. Now we've progressed to being a child. Many verses, 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but not in but in understanding be men. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. A child is one who is grown, but they're still not spiritually mature. Now they're more mature than a baby. But they're not there yet, okay? Children are great. When you have babies, they're really nothing more than beautiful, cute little invalids. That's all they are. You got to force food down their throat. Josiah was feeding, Jason the other day. And you know, listen, you know how to feed baby. You put it in their mouth. They spit out 90% of it. You kind of, it's like shaving them. You shave it off their lips, put it back in. Josiah let him spit it out. It was all over his face. He goes, I'll scrape it all off at the end. I'm like, brother, that's not how you do it, okay? I know there's a rule somewhere. You scrape it off right away. But they struggle. Now, when they get a little older, they're not children. They're not babies anymore. They can feed themselves. They can do this. They can do that. But they're very immature. So there are steps that a child needs to take. What does a child need? A child is one that needs to be trained. What does the Bible tell us about our children? Train up a child in the way he should go. Okay? They're supposed. Now, you can, you know, you put children, you can train babies. Don't get this myth. But you don't train them like, I mean, you can train them like to get on schedule when they're supposed to sleep. By the way, you do know you can do that, right? Most people don't know that. When does a baby eat? Whenever the baby wants. Well, what do you do when the baby cries? Well, I get them in the car and we drive around for 3 hours. I'd never do that. Did children learn? Come on. You just get a little schedule for them. But when they get older, you're teaching and training them. They train. Do this. Learn how to do that. They are out of that baby stage. Discipline is necessary in order to train a child to discern between good and evil. By the way, children are clueless. Okay? They're just, you know, they just... Someone, the other kid has a toy they didn't even want to play with. All of a sudden, it's, I want it now. Okay? So you have to train them. They're just kind of, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Training is about really one thing. The main point of training a child is obedience. That's it. You got to get them to be obedient. Now, they're always going to be perfectly obedient? No, but you understand what I'm saying. We just live in a society now, we let children do whatever they want. Okay? But, you know, I see it. We go somewhere, here's a little 2-year-old, let me go. And it's just sitting down, and mom's like, okay, come on, we really need to go. We ain't doing that. We'll go. But the obedience, learn to obey. You're training them. Hey, here's the things you're supposed to do, now do them. What are some of the characteristics of a child? A, they are immature. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, they may have good motives, but they are immature. Sometimes your kids do something, it's like, I can't believe my little kid actually did that. You know what they're acting like? It's like, that's ridiculous. They're acting like a 4-year-old. Well, how old are they? They're 4. That's just how they act. They are immature. That's why you need to train them. The goal of this, from the spiritual level, is to grow out of it quickly. By the way, there's no timeline that says you have to wait this long to grow as a Christian. You know, some people just get it and go. And they progress. Why? Because they're getting there and they're learning the scripture and they desire for the word of God and they're trying to do the things they said. And they'll progress quickly. But we need to make sure. Many Christians are immature. Immaturity not only affects our life, we make bad decisions, we do all kinds of immature things. But it also affects our relationship. You know, children don't get along very well with each other. Okay, you have to really keep on them. Say, my children are angels. They all loved each other. That's great. I'm sure they loved each other. But, man, our kids, they got after each other. Why? They're immature. They're acting like children again. Spiritually speaking, you see that. People are immature. They have no spiritual maturity that, wow, that's not the best thing to do. That's something God would not want you to do. We need to help them. How is our immaturity seen when we're at this level as a Christian? We see it in our words. We're very immature in the way we speak. Okay? I always enjoyed the kids when they learn how to talk. You know, they use words and they put the words in the wrong sentences, you know. And instead of me too, it's I too and you know, all this stuff. And that's, they're immature. You see it in the way Christians talk sometimes. We see it in their attitudes. We see it in their actions. As we grow, we'll become more mature. By the way, we all go through it as Christians. The point is, we don't want to go through it if we've been saved for 20, 30 years. Letter B, and we mentioned this. So children, spiritual children, are very immature. Letter B, they need training. They need training. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. That's kind of what they would do in Israel's day. A child was when they were mature enough, a father would declare them an adult and so forth. But they were under tutors and they were trained as they get up to that time. They need training. How do we grow out of immaturity? Training. The one being trained must be willing. If we're gonna grow in our faith and really get what it takes in the Christian life, we've got to be willing to grow and to learn and to be trained. But in the Christian life, training cannot be forced; it must be accepted. Where do we get the training? We get the training from the discipline of God's word. We take what God's word seriously, and it's something that's supposed to be put into practice in our life. You know, the Bible's not some kind of, it's just not a science book. Sometimes we think it's just a bunch of facts to remember. You know, I know that there's 66 books in the Bible, and I can tell you which each book is, and I can tell you how many chapters there are in each book, and I can tell you what's the shortest verse in the Bible. Everybody knows that one. I can tell you what's the longest verse in the Bible. It's somewhere in Esther, and it's a paragraph. I can tell you this, and I can tell you who was married to who and who begat whoever. Great! But the reason God tells us all those things is there's principles he wants us to learn behind them. There are, when we read the stories in the Bible and we read about, things that happened in Joseph's life with his brothers, that's not just God telling us what happened. God's trying to teach us from Joseph's life that everything that happens, happens for our good. And that we shouldn't be bitter against people because God can use everything that happens to us for good. He's trying to teach us something. And we don't get that sometimes. But that's how we get training from God's word. We also get training from those who know God's word. Maybe someone that is a Christian that's been a little bit more of a, that's befriended you, or maybe been a Christian a little longer, they take an interest in you. You can learn from them. Okay? He that walketh with wise men shall be what? Wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Who do we hang out with? Who do we allow to influence us? We ought to get people that challenge us in our faith. Challenge us. Now, sometimes we take others, and maybe somebody you won to the Lord or somebody that comes to your Sunday school class and you're trying to help. I get that. But let's be very careful. Sometimes we're too peer dominant. We need our peers. When really, let's get with people who we look to and say, you know what? I can learn from that person. I can get from their life. So we need that. Letter C. Oh, let me say this. Look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. It says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Great. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And by the way, isn't that what's happening in our society and child rearing? We let the children do whatever they want. Our government, everybody else, still, oh, you know, you can't tell children what to do. Just let them experience life. That's not good. You let that child do whatever they want, that brings shame to their mother, their parent. And spiritually speaking, sometimes we do that. We want to be left to ourselves. We don't want any training from God's word. We want to do our own thing. We're just saved, and we're glad with that, and we're doing nothing but bringing shame to our Heavenly Father. We need to work on that. Letter C. They lack the ability to look ahead. They lack the ability to look ahead. Isn't that how children are? Children don't think about tomorrow, right? Everything is in the moment. Everything's about right now. They just everything's today. By the way, some of us are like that, right? We can't think past lunch. But when we're children, we don't get the whole play of everything. Everything's today. Whereas as we grow in maturity, we'll look ahead. Proverbs, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The simple pass on, and what happens? And are punished. Why? They weren't looking ahead. They weren't seeing what could happen. Most of us, most people, every decision is made with really only today in mind. And how many of you, be honest, I've done it. You've made some decision or done something, and later on it's like, man, I should have thought that one through. Anybody there? So, man, I should, that one, that didn't turn out very well. I should have put a little more thought into that. Now, that happens once, or look, spiritually speaking, it could be disastrous. Christians make bad decisions all the time, don't we, if we're immature and we don't look ahead. We make bad decisions with our finances. We do. That looks like a great deal. Do the math sometimes. No, no, low interest. No, the payments are this and all that. I'll give you for $15,000. And you do the payments, it's like, that's 30. It's not 15. Let me see. I think if I were to do this and do that, I can afford that. And then you find out, oops, a little tight. We don't think ahead. By the way, we violate so many financial principles. Co-sign for somebody. Don't ever do that. By the way, don't let family members pressure you into things like that. Well, don't you love me? No, I love you. That's why I'm not co-signing for you. Okay? Lending money. I don't lend money. Someone came to me, can I borrow money? I will only do it, it's very rare instances, if I'm willing to give it to them and not get paid back. Because you know what's going to happen, right? It's just not going to happen. I remember I was listening to a guy preach, I was listening to a message just the other day, and a guy was talking about his brother wanted to, he had his brother, you know, he thought he had some insider information on some stocks and said, hey, you know, this stock's going to take off. Can I borrow some money? It's a shoe-in. We'll make our buddy back. Said he lent his brother this money, and the stock went belly up. And he said he wasn't bothering his brother for the money, but guess what happened every time he called his brother just to say hi? First thing his brother would say, now I know why you're calling. Don't, I'm going to get you the money back. He's like, well, I wasn't calling for that. His brother was real defensive. And he said I should have never lent it to him in the first place because it affected our relationship for a couple years. He goes, I finally had to realize what I needed to do. And he called his brother and said, how you doing? I know you're calling. He goes, I'm not calling about the money. I'm never calling about the money. He goes, fact of the matter is, you don't owe me that money. I gave it to you. I'm giving it to you. You don't have to worry about it. I don't want it back. But many people can't get there. We make bad financial. We get ourselves into bondage. And it is bondage. If you're not careful. But you know why? We don't look ahead, spiritually speaking. We do that with some of the decisions we make for our families. Get upset about something. I'm going to up and do this. Stop. By the way, Dad, every decision we make affects our wife, affects our children. Mom, every decision you make affects your husband, affects your children. And we get up and make some decision and not realizing, how is that going to affect my children? When we had those children, those all became a responsibility. I'm responsible. And I can't make decisions that I think are just best for me if it's going to hurt them. With our faith, we make bad decisions. We have a hard time looking ahead. The biggest area that a Christian has trouble looking ahead is just when it comes to the daily decisions that they make. Decisions have consequences. And so whenever you, by the way, here's a principle you ought to live by. Never make a decision when you feel pressure. Because you're going to make a bad decision. But it has to be made right now. It's not worth making. Think it through. What are the pros? What are the cons? What would this do in the future? Most of the time, if you would just step back. Remember years ago, early 90s, you know, it was early days of the church, so I wasn't on full-time staff there. I was more of a volunteer, and I was working at a place, and we were working 16 hours a day. It was every day. We just the company moved. They had a horrific. We were living right down here, and it's like outside our window was like an episode of Cops. It really was. All we're managing property, people breaking in. It was just to be honest with you, I was fed up with it. You know, I'd come home from work at 3 a.m. One time I'm driving, and here's a guy running across the street, and he's got a car stereo in his hand with the wires. And there's a police driving the other way. He didn't even do anything. I'm like, man, how many car stereos did I have still in it? I'm like, get that guy. I was driving out one time down Cherry, and this guy's out in the middle of the road with a baseball bat swinging at my car. I'm like, great. And I was sick of it. I thought, you know, we're moving. We're going to move to Washington. It was peaceful up there. Talked to my wife about it, said, you know, I want to move. I'm tired of this place. And you know what? When we decided to move, I felt good about it. I remember like a week after we decided, I was driving down 10th Street. There was two guys fighting in the middle of the street. Well, that was actually fun. I stopped and watched that one. But it was funny. Two guys were fighting, and the guy's wife sat there all quiet. And when the other guy wasn't looking, she whacked him upside the head with her purse. It was a good one. But I'm like, let them fight. I'm leaving. And then we came to a conclusion, said, let's do this. Let's just put it off for 6 months and let's wait. Man, that's the best decision we didn't make. That's a great decision we didn't make. But you know what we did? We took some time. Let's just wait. It doesn't have to be made today. If God really wants me to leave 6 months from now, I'll feel the same way, or he'll lead me the same way. But when we lack maturity, we don't look ahead. Everything's about right now. We get mad at someone, we make some snap decision. Our emotions made that decision. That's how children are, by the way, aren't they? Children make those decisions. Letter D. They are easily deceived. That we henceforth, Ephesians 4:4, be no more children. Well, why? What's wrong with children? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine. Every wind of what? Teaching. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Working in ministry and church, you get all this mail from all these different groups. And they always have the newest thing that's going to be the hot thing in church. I mean, you can go all the way back to the 90s. Seeker friendly. By the way, the guy that came up with seeker friendly said it doesn't work 20 years too late. And all, listen, we are getting caught up in all these goofy doctrines. Oh, but I like the type of music that church produces. You might want to look under the hood. What do they teach? Because most of them don't teach salvation. They don't. Look at it. Guy years ago, somebody started a church in Long Beach. It was called Revolution something. He sent an email to all the church. Oh, I'm starting a church, Revolution. It didn't even sound like a church. It sounded like a riot at Magic Mountain. So I went to his, he had a website link. So I went to it. I get curious. I'm like, what does this guy really believe? I looked at his doctrine. It was nothing. There was no clear gospel presentation. It was goofy. But see, somebody, new Christian, you know, it's like, what do you tell children? Never, ever accept a ride from someone you don't know. Yep. Right? Why? They're easily deceived. Oh, come with me, John. Come with me. Your mom told me to pick you up. Or do this. Someone, they can get tricked. Very easily they get deceived. Remember when I was a kid, I wanted a new skateboard. Skateboards were just big back then, and they're kind of big now, but when they first came in the early 70s, and I'm like, man, so we saved up, some of our friends, we saved up to get a brand new skateboard. And we were young teenagers, and we went up to Signal Hill back before it was all developed, and they had some really steep roads you could ride your skateboard down. So we were up there having a good time, and a car drove up. There was some guys said, hey, man, how you guys doing? They were real nice, you know, and I got... He goes, wow, that's a nice skateboard. What kind of skateboard is that? I said, so, man, that looks nice. Can I see it real quick? I'm like, sure. And I handed it to him as he was sitting in the front seat. Next thing you know, I saw their license plate. They left. And I'm standing there like, I saved up like 4 months to get that thing. Like a doofus. Now, fortunately for me, I don't know if they had remorse. They came back 5 minutes later and said, we're just trying to teach you a lesson. Like, oh, I learned a lesson. Give me my skateboard back. But you know, children are easily deceived. If you're deceived by every kind of false kind of Christianity or the newest teaching, oh, that rules, regulations, that's what, yeah. Why? Because it looks good. Listen, we ought to, as we mature, we don't just believe everything we hear. We look in the Bible and say, listen, what does the Bible say about that? Amen. Oh, but it sounds so neat. God's love and grace. You can do whatever you want. God still loves you and you're still saved. Maybe. But there's a lot of bad that comes with sin. You still get punished. If you're really saved, it sounds good, but all you got to do is read the New Testament. But we get caught up. Let's not be deceived. You shouldn't have to rely. Look, I mentioned it on Sunday, but there's huge church in Australia, and I think they have some in the United States, are called Hillsong. By the way, some of you, I know you listen to their music. Their music's real popular. That's between you and God, but that's not very smart. They just had a huge conference in Australia. Everybody goes to Hillsong. Justin Bieber went too. He said, they've changed my life. I guess he's going to be at our youth conference and called to preach. He's still going to be a knucklehead. That's the kind of spirituality they're producing. But yet Christians fall into that. There's no doctrine. There's no doctrine. R.B. Ouellette. He preached in our church before. Brother Board knows his family. He preaches all around the country. He went to the biggest church in America that started that seeker friendly. He was preaching in the Chicago area, and he went to see the facility. So, you know, they looked at the facility, and he decided, he says, I'm going to, you know, nobody there on the campus knew who he was, and he asks four staff members about salvation. Hey, you know, listen, what is this whole Christianity about? What does it mean to be a Christian? Four staff members. Three of them had no idea. Church staff member doesn't know what salvation is. We're deceived by what's cool, what's hip, what appeals to the flesh. But it says right here, by sleight of men, every wind of, what's the newest doctrine? We're missional. We're seeker friendly. We're this. We're that. Why don't we just be scriptural? Okay, so we need to understand what the Bible says. We need to understand what our doctrine is. And by the way, we're getting off here, but we'll be good. Particularly you young ones, you high schoolers, and you get into college. You see that kind of Christianity, and it's cool to you because it appeals to the flesh. Okay? You might want to do a little research. Okay? If you're solid and you want to be biblical, look what the Bible says about what they're doing and what they're saying. It won't take long for you to realize it's junk. The main goal for a child is learning the fear of the Lord. Learning the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We said that before. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is, I went 3-4 minutes over, pray for me. I'll be done in 1 second. But fear of the Lord is understanding that God knows everything I do, think, say, and I'm accountable to him. By the way, in a healthy relationship with a father and a child, there ought to be a little fear. Not that the child comes home like afraid what kind of mood dad is in. No. But they fear if they cross those lines. Right? You know that? Say, uh-oh. You did that. Dad said, no, you better wait till he gets home. It's like, uh-oh. Because you know what it means? I'm accountable to him and I broke one of the rules. And we ought to have a, you know, oh, the love of God. I'm so in on the love of God. It's not even, it's great. But you have to balance the love of God with the fear of the Lord. That's still in the Bible, you know. I don't know if you knew that. Okay? Fear of the Lord. Just having that respect for God to say, I know I'm accountable to him. It's going to help me to walk straighter. Questions to ask ourselves when we're done. Do you struggle with immature actions that are visible to others? Now, by the way, let me say this. When we do these things, it's not that, it's like the fool, the wise man. The wise man can still be wise, but occasionally in an area do something foolish. That's not who he is, but you know what I'm saying. So I'm not talking about we occasionally do some of these things. I'm talking about, is this where you live? If this is where you live, it's a sign that, you know what, I need to step up and I need to get to the next spiritual level. Do you struggle with immature actions that are visible to others? Sometimes a person at church says, man, I'm struggling. I have a problem with Bill, Tom, and Joe. What's wrong with them? Nothing. The only thing in common is they all have a problem. You have the problem with them. The only common denominator is you. You ever thought maybe you're the problem? Do you have a healthy fear of God? And by the way, because of the grace of God, when we sin, God's not going to step on us. We're not a cockroach in the corner that he's after. We get forgiveness. But we understand we don't want to live a life that just is totally devoid of following God's principles. Because we know there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If we live that life and just start violating all God's principles, we know where that leads. Are you seeking to be trained in the ways of God through his word and the help of other Christians? I want to be a better Christian. I want to be more like Christ. Do you make decisions without thought as to future consequences? Think it through. Now, it's like, what do you want for lunch? You don't have to think that through. Amen? Whatever comes to your mind, as long as it's a salad, go for it. Okay? Talking about decisions of life. Are you easily fooled by false teaching because of your lack of the knowledge of God's word? Don't be fooled by just the slickness and all of that. Everything goes back to right here. Everything's got to go back to right here. It's got to. And then, are you easily influenced by others' words or actions? Let's stand.